I'm going to start very definitely with Cloud Cuckoo Land by Anthony Doerr, who is the author of All the Light We Cannot See. Mm. Yeah, he won the Pulitzer for that one. And I think people were nervous about, because they loved All the Light We Cannot See so much, that Cloud Cuckoo Land might be as enjoyable a read, which it absolutely is. He follows five main character stories across six centuries. We visit an abandoned monastery in the 15th century Constantinople. There's a tense standoff in a library in modern-day Ohio, a spaceship heading for a new home on a far-flung planet in the year 2146. They're linked by books and stories. Specifically, there's an ancient Greek manuscript, which is the name titled Cloud Cuckoo Land, which pulls all the stories together. You know, I couldn't put it down, and most everyone I have talked to has enjoyed it as much as I did. So that's it's a wonderful, wonderful novel. A lot of people will have read All the Light We Cannot See. If you enjoyed that, you're going to love Cloud Cuckoo Land. The next one I'm going to go to is a Canadian author, Guy Gavriel Kay, highly respected. He actually was awarded the Order of Canada for his literary efforts. His new book is called All the Seas of the World. My husband, who is very picky in a good way about books, gave this novel a 10 out of 10. Highly unusual. So he said there was nothing about it that he didn't like. It opens on a remote stretch of coastline. It's a fantastical world, one very also grounded in what we would recognize as probably the Mediterranean area. So two people are put ashore with the intent to undertake an assassination that is planned to forever change the world's balance of power. So his comments are, it's fast moving, it's a great adventure, there's spies, there's marine action, there's a romance. He thoroughly enjoyed it.
And I love Guy Gavriel Kay's writing.
Oh, he's such a good writer. Yes, and consistent. So the other really big book over the holidays in the store, both staff and customer favorite, was The Lincoln Highway by Amor Towles, who is the author of The Gentleman in Moscow, mm-hmm. and also Rules of Civility. So Gentleman in Moscow, in our little store, we sold over 500 copies of that book.
Whoa.
It's amazing, yeah. Again, people are a little nervous, like, can you do it again? Well, he's just hit it right out of the park with The Lincoln Highway, which follows the story of an 18-year-old fellow named Emmett, who returns from a little bit of time in juvenile detention to find his farm foreclosed, and he is in charge now of his 10-year-old brother, Billy. He has plans to try to reunite with their mother. That's waylaid when two unlikely and unexpected acquaintances show up. So it's a road trip novel in many ways. The Reviewer and The Guardian says it deserves a place beside Kerouac and Steinbeck.
Whoa.
As the landscape rambles by, the narrative jumps from one adventure to the next, and it's told through multiple perspectives. And yeah, one of our customers I was talking to in January told me it's the best novel she's ever read. And this is someone who reads a lot. So I highly recommend that one as well, The Lincoln Highway by Amor Towles. A-M-O-R, Towles, T-O-W-L-E-S. So the next one is probably flying under the radar for most people. This is by an Austrian-German writer named Daniel Kellmann. And the title is Till, which is T-Y-L-L. So it's a story of a trickster named Till who brings light and levity to a very brutal world. So lots of magic realism in the story, macabre humor, and lots of adventure, rollicking adventure. So after a very difficult childhood, Till finds his path through a world that's consumed by the 30 Years' War. He has to evade witch hunters, escape a collapsed mine outside a besieged city, and along the way entertains the exiled king and queen of Bohemia.
Hmm.
So Robin, one of our managers, said she fell in love with Till and didn't want the story to end. It's a moving tribute to the power of art in the face of senseless brutality. We all need a little bit of that, right?
I was just going to say, that sounds like an antidote, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to go to a nonfiction book next, and this is one that I'm about halfway through right now. An author I hadn't read before, so the title is Orwell's Roses, as in George Orwell. So Orwell's Roses, and it's by Rebecca Solnit, S-O-L-N-I-T.
That's a familiar name.
She's a contributor to The Guardian, mm-hmm. which I read fairly regularly. So I've read her journalistic pieces, but I can't believe I've never sat down and read an entire one of her books. She's written more than 20 books. She's an essayist, first and foremost, but her subjects are very wide-ranging, like feminism, environmentalism, social change. You know, she does like to look on the hopeful side of life. So I picked this one up. I thought it was a fabulous title. And I was hooked with the first sentence. The first sentence is, in the spring of 1936, a writer planted roses. Isn't that lovely?
Yes, that is lovely. Mm-hmm.
So she explores the sides of George Orwell that are maybe rarely seen. He's, you know, he's known for being very political, and he's known for those kinds of statements through his writing. But she had an urge to go and see if those roses were still growing in the house where George Orwell lived in England. And she finds them. And this prompts her to dig further into the story of Orwell and roses. And she looks at roses and kind of all their natural, economic, and sometimes political glory and beauty. But it is really reflection on joy as a powerful act, as a powerful political act. One reviewer likened her book to kind of the unruly vines of a rambling rose. And that suits me just fine, especially as the spring buds are appearing on our roses now.
And that optimism, right? An act of optimism, too, I think.
Yes. And, you know, she jumps from idea to idea. You know, it's one of those books where I want to underline every second or third sentence.
Oh, I love that.
It's delightful and interesting and provocative. It's wonderful read. So that's Orwell's Roses. Now, another Canadian writer, Guy Vanderhaeghe, who you'll be familiar with, who has been awarded 3 Governor General's Awards, his new book is called August into Winter. So it's another epic story set in 1939 in the Canadian prairies. So the start of World War II is on the horizon. And a weird series of pranks that have a criminal nature start occurring. A murder is committed, a young suspect is identified, and as Betty, one of our bookstore crew, says, the chase is on. So a suspenseful and unforgettable story. Classic Vanderhaeghe. Yeah, great adventure stories.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is actually on our teen shelves, and it's a debut thriller. It's called The Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouly. And I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly. It's Bouley. She is of the Bear Clan with the Chippewa Nation in Michigan. And so it does draw from her traditional culture. Laura, who again on our bookstore crew, said it would be appreciated by anyone who enjoys a great mystery, not just teens. It follows the story of Donis, a complex protagonist, who is an Indigenous woman wanting to help her community. She reluctantly goes undercover with the FBI to solve a murder, drawing on her knowledge of chemistry and Ojibwe traditional medicine to guide the investigation. And it says, the search for truth is more complicated than she had imagined, as it exposes very old secrets. Hmm. Laura said she read it in 2 days. It was very compelling.
Do you have one more?
Oh, one more. That's so unfair.
this always happens.
It does. It does. And I have sent you a longer list.
Okay, oh, good.
The next one here is the Department of Rare Books and Special Collections. Again, another Canadian writer, Eva Jurczyk. And we'll have to spell that for you. It's J-U-R-C-R-Z-K. She's a Toronto author. This is another debut novel. So the director of the Department of Rare Books and Special Collections has fallen into a coma. Liesl is filling in for her boss when she realizes that a book of enormous value has completely disappeared, along with another librarian, and along with more books. So each suspect and each character reveal sends readers down a new rabbit hole in a delightful way that means that the salt mystery is almost of lesser consequence. It's the just following the stories that's so much fun. It's also an expose of the rare book world, which is
interesting.
Gives it another layer that's very interesting. Chris said she loved every minute she spent with this book.
We will look. Thank you for all of this delicious list of books to read and or consider reading and more you've said on the list as well.
There is a longer list, and do keep in mind that there are some really fabulous Canadian books showing up in April, particularly Return to Solitude by Grant Lawrence and The Sea of Tranquility by Emily St. Jean Mandel and The Broken Places by Frances Peck. Yes, and there are lots more on the list. Feel free to explore them, call your local bookseller, and talk to them about what they've read and what they like.